But this type of magic is not the magic of the soul. You have two types of magic. One type through, you know, ceremonials and incantations to bring spirits or money or wealth or that type of thing. And sometimes it can have some type of effect. You hear people summoning up different spirits and entities. There are stories circulating about this type of thing. But this is not the magic of the soul. What's the difference between magic as it's taught by a lot of these cults and the magic of the soul? What is the difference?
It's probably service to others versus service to self. It'd be the main focus you put.
Yeah, that's the difference in the focus. But the actual difference is one comes, the magic of the soul comes from within the deepest core of your being, outward. The other one comes outward, inward. So the magic of the soul goes inward, outward. The magic of darkness comes outward, inward. In other words, you find it out there, and you bring it in toward yourself.
I would expect that the soul magic actually requires no ceremony, although ceremony may help get you there, where
right.
Other would always require incantations and outside.
Right. Soul magic is assisted by ceremony, but it's not absolutely necessary. Now let's look at some of the magic that Jesus did. One time they brought a blind man to him, and he spit in the dirt, and he took the dirt with his saliva and made a little paste of it, and he put it on the man's eyes, and then he told the guy to go wash his eyes out in a certain stream, and he went and washed them out, and he could see. Now, if Jesus could just do everything by a snap of his fingers, the way the churches teach, why did he go through this ceremony? Why did he do that? Right. In other words, he tuned into what this guy needed to do in order to be healed. And he realized that if he just says you're healed, that wouldn't be enough for this guy.
You know, he almost always required something of somebody, either when he was healing, or to claim their healing, so to speak. In some places, claim their healing, you know, go tell 10 people. I think one person he told not to tell anybody is probably kind of a loudmouth kind of person. But like, yeah. Throw down your crutches, rise and walk. He made them, like, usually do some, and really, like, almost no effort, but some effort to, like, actually claim their healing, like, go through some process, go wash your eyes off, go whatever. You know?
And he went through a very interesting ceremony that most people don't realize is a ceremony when he did his greatest miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. As I said earlier, first of all, he wanted to demonstrate that there it was possible to raise someone from the dead who'd been dead for longer than 3 days, because it was a Jewish tradition that no one could come back from the dead after 3 days. And so he waited. He learned of Lazarus dying, and instead of rushing there, he just hum-hawed around and did some work and fiddled around. And then when he arrived after the three-day period was over, his friends came to him and says, Jesus, if you would have come earlier, you could have saved Lazarus. Why did you wait so long? Now, why did they say that to him? It's because they thought that once a three-day period had passed, not even Jesus could heal him. And that's why they criticized him for dilly-dallying around and not coming sooner. And then he turned to Martha. And you remember what he said to Martha?
Can I do this?
Right. And he says, Martha, do you believe that I can raise Lazarus from the dead? And what did Martha say?
Yes, Lord.
She says, yes, I believe that you can. And this was the ceremony that he needed. In other words, what he did is he had an exchange of male and female energy. There had to be that exchange to give him the power to be able to raise Lazarus from the dead. That male-female exchange where the female believes and accepts and the male sends. That exchange of energy produces a magical power. One of the times that I felt it very strong was when the very day that I fell in love with Artie, I was going to give a class, and I got up to speak, And I had a couple notes in my hand. And Artie was in the class, and she looked up at me, and I looked in her eyes, and I thought, this person is expecting something special. And I looked at my notes, and I said, there's nothing special here. I wobble them up and throw them away. And I changed the subject completely. And I looked down at her, and I spoke. The message came to my mind, divine carelessness. I thought, that's an interesting subject. That's what I will speak on. So I spoke on divine carelessness, just rattled it off for about an hour. I still think it's the best speech I've ever given in my life. Was not recorded. And she just soaked it in. And and I just felt inspired as a dickens. It was an amazing thing. And then after it was over, I went and sat next to her, and it was like energy just, I put my arm around her, and it was just like static electricity almost. Tremendous energy just flowed. Afterwards, I took her outside, and she said, wow, when you spoke, you made love to our minds. I thought, boy, did she say the right thing. She says, but I feel so strange. What does it mean? I says, it means we're going to be seeing more of each other.
Close the sale there.
So Jesus turned to Martha, and something similar happened. Yeah. Is he felt that he needed that extra charge that comes from the male-female interplay. So he turned to Martha and he says, believest thou that I can do this? And she says, yes, yes, Lord, I believe that you can do anything, even unto raising Lazarus from the dead. And then he turns to Lazarus and he says, raises his hand and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, there he was, all wrapped up in these burial clothes and everything, and he stirs and he raises up from the dead. And word got around, and it really upset the Jewish authorities because they thought, wow, he raised a man from the dead that's been dead for longer than 3 days. If we don't do something about this guy, the whole world's going to be following after him. Instead of thinking, wow, he did that, we got to check into it, and maybe there's something to it. They thought, man, we got to do something about this guy. We got to shut him up. We can't let him go around doing stuff like this.
Still a lot of that attitude around today.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it? So this is the magic of the soul. Yeah, Bill.
I have a question. So what if Martha said, you know, maybe, maybe not. I mean, he could still do.
He could have had a bigger email there that could have said that. He already looked which one is going to help me.
But let's just say she did say that. I mean, I would think that he would have the ability to raise Lazarus no matter what she said.
Well, even a master has to operate on principles. And if he needed a touch of the female energy to consummate the power, then if Martha said ho-hum, he would have went to Mary or somebody else. He would have kept going until he found somebody that was able to believe. Because when Jesus went to his hometown, he said a few things to them. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know where he lives and who he is? And then it said, Jesus could do no miracle there because of their unbelief. So among his home people, among the people who knew him best, his hometown, he could do no miracle there because of their unbelief. In other words, there was no interplay of energy there that allowed him to perform the great miracles. So if he, when he was there, if there was nobody there to say, yes, I believe you can do it, I think he would have said, well, let's have the funeral then. Lazarus was a good man. He's on the other side. We've got to let him go.
JJ, didn't you once say that Jesus did all of his miracles with male-female energies?
Well, all power is generated through male-female energies one way or another. You know, there's really no power without the interplay of the both energies. But we as men are polarized in the male energy. The females are polarized in the female energy. And the true divine energy is at the zero point. And at the zero point is where the energy comes down, because there's no such thing as empty space. And in the space that we think is empty is really tremendous currents of energy flowing that can be tapped into at any time. And by tapping into them, by neutralizing the energy of the male and female within us, we can tap in to that emptiness, so to speak, that's not really empty, but can fill us up with the spiritual power and produce great miracles. Has anyone here had a miracle happen in their life before that you haven't told us about?